Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
And it's a Friday, September 14, 2018, is the Feast of the Exaltation of the Holy Cross. We adore you, O Christ, and we bless you because by your Holy Cross, you have redeemed the world. Underline, exclamation point. No matter what, we look to the cross. As my mother Rosie Posey from Jersey always says, offer it up to God and put it at the foot of the cross. She still says that and reminds me. We have a full show for you this morning, and we are going to start out by being joined by my colleague Al Cresta at EWTN and Ave Maria Radio, who also serves, of course, as CEO of Ave Maria Radio Communications, noted author, apologist, and speaker, as well as a host of one of your favorite programs right here on EWTN, that being Cresta in the Afternoon, carried daily. And then we are going to take a break and chat with Doug Keck, COO of EWTN and the president, chief operating officer and president of the network. He joins me every Friday, and I really look forward to our discussions, not only about the great programming that's coming up on EWTN, but his thoughts as someone who's right there on the front lines with all of us in the midst of these different issues that we're facing in the church. I love his perspective. And then we're going to get an update on this beautiful apostolate that was born out of all this suffering that we're going through right now, really a Romans 8:28 situation. Lori Carter and Julie Holden, if you remember, they were on with us last week about their beautiful ministry, wearegray.org, and we have that link on our webpage at avemariaradio.net regarding the resources that can help you in terms of get active throughout this crisis to make a difference. And the website and their emails exploded last week after Al discussed them in his program and we talked about it on Catholic Connection. They're still getting tons of requests for these lovely gray pins that they've created with a gray ribbon and the Sacred Heart of Jesus in the middle. And from what Lori told me on the phone the other day, we chatted by phone for preparation of this interview, there are people who are starting groups all over the country, their own pin-making parties and getting together, and as they're doing this, they're praying and they're reminding each other to stay strong and also to support our bishops and remind our bishops that we want them to follow up on these investigations and allegations, especially where McCarrick, Theodore McCarrick, and, of course, the statements and the testimony from Archbishop Vigano are concerned. So they join us at 26. And then we're going to close the show by talking to a group in Chicago. EWTN received an email through our wonderful communications director, Michelle Johnson, regarding an effort in Chicago where instead of wearing gray, a group has decided that they are going to be wearing red at Mass in honor of the Holy Spirit, calling on the Holy Spirit to help us through this very difficult time. And this is a beautiful gesture, and they're very faithful Catholics. They're not about interrupting the Mass. They just want to make a statement and call on the Holy Spirit to help us through this. And there's some other symbolism that they want to talk about in terms of why they want to wear red. So this is really beautiful how people are making such a difference and helping people own this and understand it. Because when you send a letter or wear a pin or wear a particular color, you're saying that you care. You're able to maybe make this part of the discussion after Mass at the coffee and donut social, or maybe when you're walking into church before you get into the sanctuary. Maybe you could put something on your own Facebook page or in your church bulletin. These are all good efforts that we should be doing as Catholics. And if someone doesn't want to do that, if they feel that they're just called to pray and fast, that's fine. But I think it's also extremely important for people to have other avenues in addition to first and foremost praying and fasting to speak up and make a difference. So this is all good. Now, we do know that in terms of the news that Hurricane Florence has made landfall on the East Coast in the Carolinas, a huge storm surge, all kinds of power outages, about 320,000 people so far affected. There's also other breaking news in that area. We'll keep you posted on that, but because of the developing news in the abuse crisis, we want to focus on that right now because of the meeting yesterday in Rome and what did or did not happen, and take a look at what has transpired this week. And so to do that, I thought I would bring on, again, as I said, my colleague Al Cresta, who's in studio with me this morning. Al, thanks for joining me.
Well, good to be with you again, Teresa.
All right, so your thoughts. So you and I have been on the phone, emailing, texting all day long. It seems like every day, every night, yeah. It's something new. I was very disappointed. I was very disappointed by the statement. Not that I was expecting, as you and I spoke during the first hour of Catholic Connection, for the clouds to part, the sun to come out, and, you know, to hear angels singing and everything's taken care of. But I was expecting to hear some information on some way forward, the Pope's reaction, responding to the concerns, and we get basically what I called in my email to you a big nothing burger, a couple of lines about a meeting.
I thought the meeting, you know, we were all glad that Pope Francis was willing to meet with Cardinal DiNardo, Cardinal O'Malley, Archbishop Gomez, and Monsignor Branfield. And I think I expected that we would know after that meeting that if Pope Francis was really engaged in this issue. But we didn't even learn that from the statement. They said it was a lengthy discussion and that it was fruitful, but it didn't say anything about substance. And I didn't expect them to come out with a 6-point plan, but I did expect a reassuring voice that said, we'll get on top of it. Here's what I think might be part of the problem, because I hear this in conversations with clergy. I think, at least in America, I think the bishops thought that in 2002, with the Dallas Charter, that they had essentially solved the child abuse problem. And if you take, you know, what's interesting is that the abuse problem, as they say, had peaked in the early 1980s.
Right.
And then it dropped precipitously after that. Now, it hasn't been explained why it dropped in the mid-80s. Was it the influence of John Paul II? Was it the visit? There was work being done fixing seminaries. Was that part of it? I don't know. But it dropped precipitously. After the Dallas Charter, it continued to drop, and it's about as low as it's ever been right now. So in their mind, they're saying, we did a good thing. We got on top of this problem. We fixed it. And then when the McCarrick scandal comes about, the first part of that is he was found to have, 50 years ago, to have been involved with a minor. But then, a week after the New York Archdiocese found that out, we learned through the press that he had also paid off two seminarians in 2006 and 2007. And these were not minors. These were adults that he was engaged with. So all of a sudden, we move from, you know, sexual misconduct with minors to sexual misconduct with adults. And I don't think they know what to do with this, because this is homosexuality. And if you take a look at the history of U.S. bishops who are publicly known to be gay, talking about retired Bishop Dan Ryan of Springfield, Illinois, retired Bishop Tom Dupre of Springfield, Massachusetts. You can go down the list. There's Patrick Zeman of Santa Rosa, California, Kendrick Williams of Lexington, Kentucky, Keith Simons of Palm Beach, Florida, Lawrence Owens of Sioux City, Iowa, Joseph Hart of Cheyenne, Wyoming. You can go down, continue the list, Rembert Wakeland. None of those people came forward themselves. They were forced to come forward by the cops or the press.
So what do we do now with this, though, after the meeting? I mean, it's like, okay, I mean, do we go back to Cardinal DiNardo? Because many people are emailing us and posting on Facebook how disappointed they are.
Yeah, they're disappointed. That's really, in some ways, the small of it, isn't it? I mean, this is typical. There's been a disconnect between Catholic leadership and Catholic people, and it's becoming more so. How many of our listeners have tried to bring up problems in parish life? A DRE, for instance, who really doesn't know Catholic doctrine, or doesn't or ignores what the Church teaches in certain areas. How many times have Catholic laity complained about a freewheeling approach to the liturgy. How many times? And they haven't gotten satisfactory response. This has been changing, but it's still a problem. So what we've got is we've got a sick ecclesial culture in which the laity do not have the type of bottom-up communication that they count on as effective. You know, how does this change? I think it changes, first of all, by the laity recognizing that they are called and gifted. St. Paul makes this explicit in 1 Corinthians 12-14. The job of the priests and bishops and pope, their job is to equip the lay faithful to do works of service in order that they can build up the body of Christ, reach spiritual maturity, so that the world can see the Son of God at work in our community. That's their job. That's what they're supposed to do. The laity are the ones that really are carrying the burden of witness. The clergy are carrying the burden of coaching those of us who are witnesses. They distribute the sacraments, they confect the sacrament, they manage the parish, they have final, the bishop, has, of course, has final control over the assets of the diocese. But what's happening is the laity in America have been very passive.
Mm-hmm.
And when they do finally decide to take action, oftentimes they're put down. I talked to a priest who, his first week in seminary, found out in an unseemly way how some of his seminarians were involved in homosexual activity. He went to the rector, and the rector accused him of gossiping and insulting mm-hmm. his classmates. How many times does that happen to lay people when they bring up a serious problem with their priest or with their bishop? How many times have letters been written and the response showed that whoever read that letter to the bishop simply didn't pay attention because the letter sounded like a form response? This problem of communication can only change when we insist that it change. And I mean that we have to have adult communication. There are some, Jesus warns, Catholics call their priests father.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that. I think it's a good thing to refer to them as having spiritual paternity. But Jesus, when he said, call no man father.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's not just a problem back in first century Palestine. That's a problem today. There are some clergymen that don't deserve to be called father. And I think, I'm not asking anybody to make a list. But if you're dealing with somebody who is in violation of the church's teaching, in violation of the church's practice,
and in some cases, criminal behavior.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Then you've got to act. And we can't expect the clergy to act if we're unwilling to act. I go back again. I look over these lists of bishops who have resigned. They didn't resign for reasons of conscience. They didn't resign because the laity pleaded with them to step down. They resigned because of public humiliation by the press or law enforcement forcing the hand. I'm not saying all bishops. Don't misunderstand me. I'm saying if you look at the list of the bishops who have resigned because of sexual misconduct, they didn't resign for reasons of conscience. They resigned because of public humiliation through the press or because the law enforcement found them out because they engaged in criminal behavior. Ask yourself why that's the case. And it's because there's a sick ecclesial culture. There's not fraternal correction among the bishops. Most lay people would never think of engaging in fraternal correction with a priest or a bishop. And yet, that's exactly what St. Paul expects when he says, pray for one another, forgive one another, serve one another, admonish one another, exhort one another, encourage one another. That starts out, that's for all the baptized, including our clergy. Remember, clergy are gifted. Christ has called them and gifted them in certain ways. And we have the sacrament of holy orders, which is which in a very formal and spiritual way gives them something that lay people don't have. All right. However, lay people are also called and gifted.
Mm-hmm.
And they have might have the gifts of administration, gift of healing, gift of teaching, gifts of helps, gifts of liberality, gifts of tongues, gifts of interpretation of tongues, gift of miracles, gift of teaching, word of wisdom, word of knowledge. Those gifts, by the way, are not exhaustive. They're representative of what the Holy Spirit is doing within the Christian community. But when you go to Mass, the only person, or the only gifted person that you're aware of there is the priest. And that's because we don't have a robust understanding that everybody there is called and gifted. And by coming together to worship at the Eucharist, we're bringing our gifts and our callings, and we're placing them at the foot of the cross. And the priest is functioning in persona Christi and presenting to us the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus. But if you don't understand that the whole assembly is called and gifted in very particular ways, then you could get the impression that the only called and gifted one in at the Mass is the priest. And that's not the way it's supposed to work.
Right, exactly. So in wrapping up, because we're heading into a break, and I want to get Doug to come on and give his two cents as well, but what would you encourage our listeners to do? We do have that whole resource page on AveMariaRadio.net. I would say keep writing the letters and keep getting involved, because now I want more answers about what happened in Rome. I'm sorry, I do. I'm not satisfied with a two-line press release. I'm not. And I don't think I'm the only one, based on what I'm hearing.
Yeah, I don't know if we're going to get anything more, because they knew that there's expectations. I think we can write, and we can let Cardinal DiNardo know our disappointment. My guess is that he's already aware of it, because I think he expected more. And I don't know why they didn't do more. But I think they think they handled the pedophile problem. Now they have to figure out how to do the homosexual problem, and that's much more difficult. Culturally, it's more difficult, and I think you've got a significant percentage of clergy who are same-sex attracted. I'm not saying everybody's engaged in breaking mm-hmm. their vows, but I'm saying I think that there's a disproportionate number. There appear to be a disproportionate number of homosexual men involved in the Catholic priesthood.
So I would say we keep doing what we're doing then, correct?
Absolutely. This is not over. This is just beginning. We've entered a new era, called the age of the laity or whatever you want to call it. But what it's going to require is all the baptized to understand that Christ has called them to discipleship. That means relating to one another as learners. It means to take up the mode of life that St. Paul has sketched out for us in his letters. And I keep coming back to if you think carefully about what it means to regard our priests and bishops as brothers first, before we regard them as priests and bishops, then you're starting to get to the root of the problem. There is a clericalism here that has concealed sins of certain clergy. The bishops covered that over. They moved people around. Why? They were afraid of scandal. That's one thing. Two, they believed therapists when they said some of these people can be changed. Thirdly, I assume just like all of us, at times they were lazy. Do you remember the Gerald Schirle case in Detroit?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He was director of worship for the Archdiocese of Detroit. He went ahead and eventually was, I don't know if he was laicized or not, but he was no longer functioning. His faculties were suspended for certain, and he was gone. He started a travel agency. But that was about 1992, 94. In 2002, Bishop Cooney of Gaylord, in a sense, resurrected him and put him in St. Mary's in Alpena. What the heck? Why?
Mm-hmm.
As it turned out, the news came got out there, and a major league ball player whose name slips my mind right now, and his three brothers, made it clear that they were coming forward to tell about Jerry Sharula's abuse of them in the 1970s. And with that, Cardinal Maida acted and Bishop Cooney acted to sideline Sharula again. But how in the world did he ever get back into a church? How did that happen?
Right.
If you don't think you deserve an answer to that, I'm saying this to all my brothers and sisters listening, if you don't think you deserve an answer to that, especially if you were a member of St. Mary's in Alpena, then there's something wrong about the way you're thinking about the church as your home, the church as your community, the church as your family. We deserve to know. We are asked to confess our sins to priests. We are asked to regard our priest as the visible sign of unity for our parish, and the bishop as the visible sign of unity for the diocese. These men are put out in public as public people. They are not private people. They are in a different position than most lay people. They are out front. And you can't just, when something goes wrong in a priest's life, you can't just pluck him out of the church and have him disappear.
Right, and then don't explain anything. Al, we're out of time. I want to direct people to your show this afternoon and all of our programming here at EWTN. So appreciate you coming in, and especially this week, a busy week for us. We're having our fundraiser, our fall fundraiser. Al Cresta is a CEO of Ave Maria Communications, host of Cresta in the Afternoon, apologist, speaker, and, of course, we'll be covering this story for you every single day, along with all of our great EWTN outlets with whom we're working, and we'll get an update on that with Doug Keck, who's been patiently holding.
Give
the
my
last
best
few
to
minutes.
Doug.
I will. And Al, thanks, and we look forward to what's coming up on Crest in the Afternoon this afternoon. We'll be right back. All right, so just want to give you an update on what's going to happen here on Catholic Connection, and it's a live show, live radio, so we move things around. Really appreciate Al's perspective. And we're running a little bit over, so we're going to let Doug just say a quick hello, and then we're going to take Doug past the break, and then we're going to be checking in at 39 minutes past hour with Lori and Julie from Wear Gray, and then we'll talk to the folks in Chicago about their new, beautiful, very peaceful and respectful laity operation that they've come up with in a way to make a statement. That will be at about 46 minutes past hour. So, Doug, thanks for your patience, bud. Really appreciate it.
Oh, no problem. I love to listen to what Al has to say. I think it was wonderful, his perspective.
Thanks for all the great coverage that all of your news agencies are doing. How's it going there? What's the latest? What are you hearing from your people in terms of the story?
Well, I mean, I guess if you look at our website and you watch our newscast and you watch Ray's show, I guess you get the idea. I don't think it's totally dissimilar. You guys are on top of what's going on. You know, obviously, I think there's a lot of concern, certainly in the United States, and I think originally maybe being focused as if it was a U.S. problem in some quarters of the church. I think what people are seeing now, obviously, with what broke out in Germany just the other day, some other stuff that's going on in South America, let alone Chile, let alone some things related to Argentina themselves, that I think we all know that this is not something that's unique to the United States, that there's an issue. I think it's clear that there's an issue, but like with most things, most organizations, you know, like to control how things come out, and it's getting difficult for the church to control the story.
We're going to have more with Doug Keck, the Chief Operating Officer of EWTN and the President, more on our programming and what we're doing to cover this story, also all the other great programming as well. Stay tuned. More with Doug Keck when we come back. We'll also check in with Wear Gray and another group, Wear Red, coming up this morning on Catholic Connection on a Friday. Stay tuned. Every Friday, we check in with Doug Keck, of course, host of the wonderful program Bookmark, also the Chief Operating Officer and President of EWTN, to give us an idea of the inside word, meaning insiders get the idea of what's coming up on the network, both radio and TV. So, Doug, what's in store the next couple of days?
Well, one of the big things we're doing related to what the crisis going on is the Holy Hour for Healing and Justice. Mm-hmm. We started it last week at the Shrine. This week it'll be coming from our chapel with our friars. And the special intention for this week is repentance and accountability. And we'll be doing that going forward, at least through the end of the year, alternating every once in a while between the chapel in Irondale and the Shrine, obviously in Hanceville. We also have program, The Case for Jesus, with Brant Petrie and Noah Lett, which is kind of a one-on-one interrogator on the interrogation of, you know, Jesus' claims. And I think that's important these days for us to focus on. We've got a men's conference highlights coming up. We also have a program on Polycarp, early martyr, and these days we're dealing with a lot of persecution, and some of us, as Mother would say, would become white martyrs and things like this. And I think that's some of what we're seeing here, is that, you know, people need to step out, and many times they're going to be criticized, and we, as long as we do it in love, as Al was talking about, and we say, then, you know, we have every right to do those things. And asking for explanations is not gossiping or anything else. I think it's clear. And, you know, when you're in a situation and you've given people over a period of times the benefit of the doubt and the opportunity to create and fix something, as somebody was talking about, you know, you ask your kid to clean their room 100 times and one day you go in and you just do it yourself.
Right.
And they're not always happy with how you did it, but your answer is, but, you know, I gave you every opportunity to fix this yourself. Now we need to take it into our hands to participate in this. And again, force many of these situations to be dealt with, as we're starting to see. And I think also what you're seeing out there is, like what happened with the leak in Germany and other things, more stories will come out because more people will realize there's an openness to this being discussed. And even people inside the church who might have been in a situation where they feared for their position or that this would cause them political, quote-unquote, problems inside the church or the hierarchy, feel at this point in time that maybe they have a shot to be able to bring it out without those repercussions happening. And also, I think just because people are starting to realize, you know, I've got to say something no matter what.
That's a great point. By the way, if you're just joining us on Catholic Connection, Doug Keck, Chief Operating Officer of EWTN, President of the Network, with the inside word on programming. And I noticed that, too. Maybe this is just a reporter in me, but this is what happens. You have V&O coming forward a few weeks ago, and you have this report. And I actually interviewed Martin Rothwald, the head of programming for EWTN Germany, yesterday.
I know that fellow.
Yeah, he was great. but I think it's really an important point you make, because people are now feeling, I think, empowered. And the fact that, as Martin was saying yesterday, this was not supposed to be released until their conference, their bishop's conference, coming up in at the end of the month.
And what's important to know about that report is that report was put together by the bishops.
Mm-hmm.
They got some universities to work on it. Now, the universities, basically, their report is only self-reporting, meaning it's only what the conference or the bishops or the diocese would let them see. It's not like they went through the records and the archives and this is what they came up with.
Well, apparently many of the records, as Martin said, were destroyed.
Exactly. So this is they're only basically dealing with what's amounted to self-reported incidents.
Mm-hmm.
And so you could assume that it's dramatically worse than that.
So I think, and this is when I'm, as you just mentioned, I'm thinking that the person who leaked that report to the German press is thinking, if we can get the media to focus on this for a few weeks prior to the bishop's meeting, then they will be forced to put a heavier emphasis on this in their discussions. And that, to me, makes sense, that you get this out there and you allow the media to do some digging, because the comments were that they were much more, and Martin said this yesterday, the numbers are much bigger than they anticipated. And there could even be more than what they have now.
Right. I think out based on how it was self-reported, I'm sure it must be higher. Very few people tell everybody all of their personal sins, or, you know, if you're going to air some of your laundry, you usually put the stuff that's the least egregious, not the most egregious, out there for people to see. So I would think that's probably very true. And I think what we're dealing with as well is just the idea that people need to be able to say, there's a problem. We know there's a problem. We wondered when listening to homilies or not listening to homilies, and now we're starting to see these things come out. Why the church's teaching on morality has been so lax in many cases.
Connecting the dots.
You know, right, exactly, and it becomes clearer. And even the idea of the meeting coming up in February, you know, why it takes that long, etc., for these kinds of things to happen, you know. I'm not somebody who organizes these things. But the other question was, initially it came out, it's about minors.
Right, about minors.
And then, again, always this focus kind of on the pedophilia, which obviously is the most heinous, but it's also the smallest part. And actually, to be fair to the bishops of the United States, they've actually done a reasonably good job of trying to correct that particular situation. But the third rail, the unspoken elephant in the room, mm-hmm. is the homosexual issues. And even when they use the term vulnerable adults, there were some articles clarifying what does that
yeah,
mean.
Yeah, Catholic What's News Agency had a great piece on that. Yeah.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. Vulnerable yeah. adult, which really has to do more with special needs or people who maybe psychologically, and so maybe that would include somebody who's got an immaturity in their sexuality. But it's not as explicit as saying we also have an issue here with people, whether it's heterosexual, and certainly on the homosexual side, which seems to be the higher amount, based on the numbers that are reported, that there's an issue here with people not living up to their vows.
Did you ever stop and think, and I'm sure you have, but I was thinking a lot, and people have been writing this to us, and I'm sure you've seen this too, that what would be happening right now if we didn't have EWTN, if Mother Angelica didn't have her Italian chutzpah to get this whole network started? Because look at the fallout, the positive fallout from this. Because in addition to EWTN TV and radio, you have Register, you have CNA, Catholic News Agency, EWTN News Nightly, EWTNnews.com. You have great shows like Raymond, who's just on this story and other stories all the time on the world over. And then because of what EWTN has done, you have other radio networks that have started, and this is now, it can't be hidden, Doug. It's out there, and we're covering it much more extensively than the secular right. media for obvious reasons. But just think if we didn't have this outlet.
Right, without a doubt. And I think the nature of technology, the fact that EWTN has expanded into these new technologies on the web, etc., our Rome office, etc., that is there, our international offices in Germany and Australia and news agencies in Italian and French and German, etc., Spanish, obviously. All of those things are out there, getting information out there. So the idea of connecting the dots from around the world is there. And I think also it is our goal to love the church and speak truth. But that also means we have to call ourselves as Catholics and our clergy and our hierarchy to live up to what our call is and the kinds of people we're supposed to be. And we deserve to be called down when we're not living up to our faith. And there's no reason that those who are, quote-unquote, part of the hierarchy should not be held to an even accountable, a higher accountability. I mean, that was the whole idea with, to whom much is given, much is expected. Right, and there's a level of trust and stuff that Catholics, through a kind of a clerical attitude, imbued or endowed these people with, and for that to be taken advantage of is even more terrible.
Doug, thanks so much. And we come back, we're going to be talking to some ladies who are making a difference in their own way, and I'm going to share the great quote that you gave me last week from Mother Angelica, which, by the way, has gone viral, and everybody wanted a copy of it, so I posted it on my Facebook page. Doug Keck, Chief
She's
Operating Officer. She is the best. Thanks, Doug. God bless.
God bless.
Have a great weekend. And we'll be right
you
back.
You too.
Hope you're having a beautiful Friday on this, the Feast of the Exaltation of the Holy Cross. We adore you, O Christ, and we bless you and praise you, because by your Holy Cross you have indeed redeemed the world. And as I said earlier, amen, underline, exclamation point. We keep our eyes on Christ, the author and finisher of our faith, and we cling to the cross, and we cling to the beautiful church. We don't run. We're not afraid. We stand up, and we fight lovingly for our faith. And I mentioned this quote from Mother Angelica, and I've been getting a lot of emails since Doug read it on the air last week. I will read it again, and then if you want it, I'll post it on Facebook. I'll put it on a resource page, or I'll send it out in an email blast as well. This is Mother Angelica speaking many years ago in my home archdiocese, the Archdiocese of Detroit, at the Call to Holiness Conference. And she said, "Be courageous and brave. You have nothing to fear. Fight for your mother, the Church. She may be wounded, but we can heal her with our love, our compassion, and our zeal. You must have zeal today. You must fight for the faith, and do not give others authority they do not possess. You are on the winning side. You have nothing or no one to fear. Be Catholic and be proud of it." Two ladies that are very proud of their faith and are fighting for it with zeal, respectfulness, love, and holiness. You met them last week, Lori Carter and Julie Holden. And their apostolate, which is just born out of what's been happening in our church, WearGray.org, has taken off. Ladies, thanks for joining me this morning.
Thanks for having us.
Lori, let me go to you first and kind of refresh the process that happened here and how this all came about.
Well, right after the McCarrick allegations were announced, Julie and I got together and said, look, we have to do something. We just, if we don't do something, then we're a part of the problem. So we came up with an idea of Wear Gray. And what it is, it's prayer, fasting, and penance on the part of the laity. It's a call of the laity. So it's prayer, fasting, and penance on the part of the laity, and writing letters to the Pope and to the bishop. And we're wanting everyone to write letters, the letter that's in your heart. We're not taking a position, but we do have sample letters. We have a website, and also wearing gray, wearing the color gray to mass, or wearing the gray pin that we came up with, along with another lady, Karen Manning, in Pensacola, Florida. And the gray pin has the Sacred Heart of Jesus in the middle, and it is about ministry, about getting together, about the laity calling our leadership of the church and our clergy to holiness. So what we're doing is we're praying for the sins of the church, we're praying for the clergy, and we are praying for the victims and for healing. And we've gotten a lot of response. We started this about a month ago, and just a little bit through EWTN, we've been able to spread the word. We've been contacted by over 90 parishes. Well, we're pushing 100.
Wow.
All around the country, including Alaska, who have said they're praying with us. They're holding pin parties. They're saying the rosary together, and it's really been a bonding experience. Now, phase two, what we really need to push are writing the letters, writing mm-hmm. that letter that's in your heart. So at that pin party, we also want a pin party where you bring your pen and paper and maybe write your own letter or pull up the sample letters on the website and read how to respectfully write the letter to the Pope and to the bishops. You know, that can be intimidating, writing your eminence, your holiness. But we do have links to exactly how to do that.
I think people will be surprised if they write letters and the kind of response. It was a lot of bishops do respond personally. I just want to encourage folks. And even if you don't hear from them personally, I would, in that letter, ask that they received it, to some sign or some way to confirm that they received it. Let me put out the phone number and see if anyone has a question or a comment. Maybe they've ordered the pins, and maybe they have a pin and pen party coming up in their area. 877-573-7825, 877-573-7825. It is 43 minutes past the hour on a Friday morning. We're chatting with Lori Carter and Julie Holden from wearegray.org, G-R-A-Y, and you can get the pins by just going on that website and getting all the information there. You can make them yourselves, 877-573-7825. Julie, what have people been saying, those that you're hearing from, in terms of getting involved?
I've been speaking with a lady from Ponte Vedra, Florida, who just has, her heart is just so taken with this cause, and they got together and did a little pen party, and now it's growing. They gave out 350 ribbons at Sunday Mass last week. Their Monsignor is having an Exaltation of the Cross Mass tonight, and they'll give out pins tonight. And they're also going to have a rosary tomorrow at noon for Our Lady of Sorrows. I'm hearing so many more people are picking up these beautiful feast days this weekend, which it's no coincidence that God brought us these two beautiful feast days during this time. One of the things, Teresa, too, that our priest, who's just a really holy young priest, and he's leading our parish in beautiful ways, one thing that we're receiving is to begin praying the Seven Sorrows Rosary. For people who don't remember, it was given in the Middle Ages, but Our Lady of Chedejo in the 1980s gave it to the girls in an apparition before the Rwandan genocide. But and a lot of us know about it because of Immaculate. We're just finding that the Spirit is moving people's hearts. In my parish, they are all on board. We've probably made over 1,000 pens. And we have a group me text, and every day we're just adding more women to it. And what's so neat is that women in the parish that have seen each other forever but don't really know each other. They are now becoming beautiful spiritual sisters, and they're doing other things together. They're getting together rosaries and stuff. So it kind of reminds me of those old knitting clubs that women used to have, because we come together without having to plan anything. We don't need to bring food, whatever. We just show up. And the community is so beautiful. It reminds me of the first churches that St. Paul founded. So,
yeah, it's very powerful. Lori, I'll go back to you before we take a quick break. Any other thoughts?
I lost my thing. Yes. I don't. I'm just going to leave it at that. I didn't think you were going to call on me, Teresa.
Well, I'm just going to give you the last word before we take a break. I want you ladies to stay on.
So much to say. Okay.
Let me have you stay on, because we've got Di coming on from Chicago. She's a Chicago Catholic who also shared a similar concern, and they came up with a ministry called Wear Red. And I think if you decide to wear red, wear gray, wear both, all of these efforts that are coming out of Lady are so beautiful, because they're done respectfully, in love. They're not talking about doing any type of a crazy, not that protesting is bad, because we march for life every year, but I'm saying and there's no disrespectful display here. This is out of love, and this is a way to respectfully express your concerns. And even the folks in Chicago say they're wearing red at Mass, but there's not going to be any disruptions, because I don't think that's the way to go, because we don't want to disrupt the Mass, the sacredness of the Mass and the Eucharist, because that's our source and our summit. And we never, ever, ever want to disrespect that. But there is a way to peacefully stand up, and this is what you're doing, and this is what Di from Chicago is doing. And so hang on, we're going to be chatting with all three ladies. I don't know if any of us is going to be able to get a word in edgewise, but with all these women together at once, but we'll give it our best shot. Lori Carter and Julie Holden from Wear Gray, and then Di from Chicago with Wear Red. We'll find out about that ministry when we come back. And if we can squeeze in a question, we'll try. 877-573-7825. Again, 877-573-7825. We'll be right back on a Friday morning. It's Catholic Connection, a co-production of the Ave Maria Radio Network and EWTN. Stay tuned. Fifty minutes past the hour. It's a Friday morning. Many, many respectful and loving ways to show your concern for what's happening in the church, and we're proud of the many lay people who are stepping up. We've been chatting with Lori and Julie from Wear Gray, and on the phone with me is Di from the Chicago area, from the Archdiocese of Chicago, prefers to go by her nickname because she wants to keep the focus away from her and about what they're going to be doing this weekend in wearing red. Now, Di, this is a specific call for a specific Mass, correct?
Yes, thank you for having me. Yes, there is a Mass that's going to be celebrated by Cardinal Blaise Cupich of Chicago tomorrow evening, Saturday, September 15th at 7:30 p.m. at Holy Name Cathedral. And it's part of a novena of Masses that for healing in the church that was organized by Mundelein Seminary. And Cardinal Cupich will be celebrating the final Mass of that novena, which is tomorrow night. And there's been some mixed feelings about how this crisis has been handled. It's currently being handled by the hierarchy, especially in Chicago. And so as a response to that, as well as the prayers for healing, prayers that the truth will come out, we are specifically wearing red tomorrow night just for that Mass, as a visual demonstration that the laity, we're paying attention, we're praying for healing, but that we're also paying attention, and we want there to be accountability in the church hierarchy about why things were covered up and why we just want some answers, more or less.
And so the red has to do with, first and foremost, it's the color of the Holy Spirit.
Yes, absolutely. So we're hoping that the Holy Spirit will purify our church and renew it. And that specifically has to do with rooting out sexual abuse in the church, and also strengthening chastity for not only our clergy members and our hierarchy, but for all of us, because we can't take the splinter out of others' eyes until we take the beam out of our own.
Exactly.
And and if we're faithful to our call to be chaste, whether we're married or single or ordained, it's just important that if none of this would have happened, none of the abuse or the cover-up would have happened if people had been faithful to their vows.
Yeah, all of us, right? Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
So I wanted to pick up something you mentioned in the email that you sent us at the network, which I think is very important, that this is not about disrupting Mass, because we have seen some places where people, and we're not judging them, because I know some people are frustrated and they don't know what else to do. We don't know what was on their heart at the time, but some of these folks did get up and walk out of Mass. But that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about a peaceful, loving, respectful way to show your concern. Correct, Di?
Absolutely. Yeah, it's a visual appeal, specifically because Cardinal Subic will be celebrating Mass tomorrow night. It's a visual appeal to him just to let him know that we would love some answers and we would love some accountability and that we're praying for him and for the Pope and for all the hierarchy and all of the priests. So it's a visual appeal, but no, we're not interested in any vocal disruptions of the Mass. You know, the more the Mass is, the better. So
right, and because that's what we need to have and to cling to, especially on the feast days that are coming up today with the Exaltation of the Holy Cross and tomorrow with the Feast of Our Lady of Sorrows. Lori and Julie, just let me get your reaction to what Di is talking about this morning. I know this is near and dear to your heart. And Lori, I'll go to you first. Oh, I think how about Julie? Is Julie there?
Yeah, I'm
okay.
Here.
Okay.
God, Di, so beautiful.
Have you lost me?
I love...
Okay, Lori, go ahead. We're on Julie's speaking right now. I'll let you speak next. Go ahead, Julie.
Okay. Yeah. Di, I love what you're doing. I'm going to spread it down here for our services tomorrow. We actually have Reparation Mass in the morning, Adoration all day, and then our Vigil Mass. So I will be sure to spread that. I love the connection with the Holy Spirit and asking for the answers and just to show our hearts. One quick thing that I just keep thinking of is in the Garden of Gethsemane that Jesus said, pray so that you do not undergo the test. And he said, I'll even pray for you. So I just feel like we need to wake up and we just can't keep waiting on something to happen with the hierarchy because we are the body. And so I just think coming together as a congregation and showing it in what we wear outwardly is sacramental too. So thank you for that movement. It's really beautiful.
Di, what kind of response are you hearing so far about how many people will be wearing red?
You know, I have no idea. We basically, it's a very grassroots thing. A few of us came up with the idea. We've passed it along to friends. We've passed it along to others. It's not really anything super organized at the moment. We had something very similar a couple weeks ago where we had a prayer rally in front of Holy Name Cathedral, where we prayed the rosary, and we had some signs asking for some answers, and it was a peaceful prayer rally, and there were about 15 of us that came out of Labor Day, and it was extremely short notice, and I was just heartwarmed by who came out. It was a range of individuals from their 20s all the way up into their 50s and 60s.
Ladies, are out of time, but I appreciate so much. Sorry to interrupt. So much to cover in so little time. We have Di from Chicago. They'll be wearing red in honor of the Holy Spirit and our Lord's suffering through this crisis. And, of course, weargray.org. Be courageous and brave. Be Catholic and proud of it. Stand up for your faith. That's a quote from Mother Angelica. We'll talk to you Monday.
You've been listening to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo. Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio, and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Andrew Kruchek. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net. Thanks for listening, and join us next time for another edition of Catholic Connection.